Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short or brown or round or we're queer. I got a feeling we are onto something here. Might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I got a feeling we are gonna be okay.
I'm Deborah Frances White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show about all the things that make us different, which used to cause wars, but today make podcasts. And speaking of people who would never start a war, but probably all have a podcast, please welcome today's comedians. On my left, playing for and in first place, Celia AB and Kate Smurthwaite. And on my right, playing for What's Your Tsar Size? Rosie Jones and Olga Gok! So, panellists, what makes you diverse? Kate Smurthwaite from An In First Place.
I was thinking about this, apart from the obvious woman thing, which I've been playing on for quite a while now. I thought of two things. Firstly, people probably do know this about me. I'm polyamorous. I have loads of boyfriends, so it makes it... I'm diverse and so are they. Two-thirds of the audience I've shagged.
Excellent. Good to
and
know.
I'm including listeners. And the other thing which people probably don't know about me is that I'm a coder. And she looks around.
I know this. Child of a deaf adult.
Yes, exactly. So my mum's deaf, and so English is my kind of first language, but my mother tongue is technically British Sign Language, which doesn't work so well on a podcast, though.
I do see that. Celia AB, what makes you diverse?
I'm French. I'm half Algerian. I'm bisexual. But all of this until I'm famous, and then I'll step back.
What happens when you're famous? You're going to pretend to be straight?
Oh, yeah.
just modelling Hollywood?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Wait till 2021 is the year, is what I'm going to bank on.
I feel bi-visibility is having a moment. I don't think you should dial that down at all. If anything, dial it up.
Yeah, I think I should keep it exciting. 1 year straight.
Oh, you're just going to pick one for a year?
Yeah, it's like I try and renew it, like a...
Like an Esther visa.
Yeah.
Which today I called an Etsy visa. Which is a visa you knit yourself in your bedroom and then try and sell to someone on the internet. And why are you called it in first place?
We just thought it would be really annoying when people were reading the results out.
Yeah, you are not wrong.
I think we'll see as time goes by how well that works.
Yes, absolutely. And what's your tsar size? We've got Rosie Jones. How are you diverse?
Hello, I got everything. gay, disabled, I'm a woman. But what makes me diverse today is I'm a comedian and my parents love me. They're really great, they're really supportive.
That must, just be, no, that's must be lovely. I'm kidding. And Olga Koch.
Yes.
How are you diverse?
First of all, I love the idea of a biannual bisexual. I think that should definitely be a thing. I'm Russian. I'm bisexual. Don't recommend combining the two. And yet here I am. And I am also a coder, but I'm a computer scientist.
Oh, a different kind of coder.
Yes, but I mean, I studied computer science at university.
And then gave it up to be a comedian. Your parents must be really disappointed.
I wrote a show about computer science just to, so I can say that I've justified the degree.
Oh, well, that must be a great comfort to them in their old age. And why are you called, what's your czar size?
Czar.
Because I'm Russian.
Russian czar, sure.
Bra. Me!
Yes, yes. And making sure all the jokes are correct and the punchlines are in the right order, please welcome in Pettence Corner, Ned Sedgwick! And making beautiful music flow from his fingertips and only slightly cheating by using a piano, it's Samuel Wolfe! Ned Sedgwick, have you had any global experiences lately?
Yeah, well, I was slightly spurned. So, Deborah, you might know my favourite band in the world are Vampire Weekend.
I do, yeah.
Stop it.
And you might know my favourite comedian in the world is Olga Koch. That was until Olga said, anyone who likes this tweet, I will put your name in a Vampire Weekend song. So I, this was in March, I liked it. I was like, can't wait for this. It's going to be, saw her, you know, Lottie Adefope had one, like all these big names. I was like, it's my time's round the corner. And then she retweeted it and I was like, okay, I'll unlike it and re-like it. So she gets a notification again. Saw them on Wednesday, you know, I was blown
incredible
away.
Incredible show, right?
Yeah, oh, brilliant.
Okay.
What I didn't get was my name in a Vampire Weekend lyric.
It's a very long last name. I promise.
Are you going to do the rest of a show?
Sorry. Can you just unpack this a bit more? Are you doing a show in which you put audiences' names into Vampire Weekend?
No, this is on Twitter.
This is what I'm saying.
Oh, just on Twitter.
It's my favorite game ever. Like, for example, the tide is high, but I'm Goldie Hawn. That's my favorite game to play, right?
Oh,
but except I was doing it with the Vampire Weekend lyrics.
Okay. Every good podcast needs a jingle, but rather than compose one from scratch each episode, we find it easier to appropriate a deeply meaningful folk tune from an ancient culture that's out of copyright instead. Over to you, Sabo!
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Today's folk song is from Germany. It's called Treue Liebe, translates to true love. Denn ihr stirbt nie bei mir, das glaube mir. It's very pretty, and that's the bit we're going to use today. I'll sing you the full thing, I just want you guys to sing the second half. It's global pillage time, Ned Sedgwick, what are the scores, please?
Okay. That's better than Vampire Weekend, surely.
No, that's not.
First up is our themed round, and this week we'll be asking questions on the subject of reality TV. That obviously is an oxymoron, a phrase which contradicts itself, like unbiased opinion, or jumbo shrimp, or managed Brexit. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with the correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers! Adam Seeks Eve is the German equivalent of Love Island, with one major difference. What is that difference? What's your czar size?
Everyone's naked.
Everyone's naked, okay.
All the time.
That sounds like a fantasy of yours, Rosie.
Yeah.
There's people and there's also a big snake.
Oh, I was going to say that, yeah.
They've introduced a big snake.
I'm sure this isn't the right answer, but I like to imagine they've just themed the whole thing around the Old Testament. At the end of each episode, they're like, therefore, and a plague of locusts has arrived. And everyone's like, yes! We're killing the firstborn next week. Tune in. Oh, be still my beating heart. That would be amazing.
That would be funny. I mean, and terrible, but that's like...
Although, the venomous snake released halfway through the show without anyone knowing would be hilarious as well.
All right, then we're throwing to the hive mind.
It's a show for Christians.
It's a reality show for Christians. So nobody's allowed to lose their innocence.
Oh, so can suck his own dicks.
I see. Is it Love Island with organ donation? And listen, Channel 5 are listening to all of these, so be careful, gang. Be careful. This is basically a free pitch meeting.
They only recruit people called Adam or Eve.
They only recruit... You've got to be called Adam or Eve to go on the show. These ideas are gold. Okay, all right. If you think it's a show for Christians, buzz now. If you think it's Love Island with extra organ donation, buzz now. Or if you think you have to be called actually Adam or actually Eve to be booked for the show, buzz now. In fact, what's your Tsar size haddock? They're all naked.
Woo! Yeah!
So it's absolutely naked Love Island, which I found odd because Love Island is basically an incredibly fast fashion sales show because apparently it's all linked to a shop. So they're missing a trick in a very real way because you can't sell nothing.
Such a like English, like London response. Like, so what are you actually trying to sell with this program?
I suppose penis enhancements.
Yeah.
Why was the Czech reality television show Holiday in the Protectorate so controversial? And in first place?
Because the Protectorate wasn't adequately lubricated.
Right. That kind of Protectorate, okay.
I was going to say that it was controversial because the breakfast stopped at 9 o'clock, which is far too early, if you ask me.
I mean, I find that controversial when I stay in hotels like that. What's your Tsar size?
I think I know the actual answer.
Okay.
I don't. Is it because they simulated Nazi Germany? Or like World War II?
I mean, a very cozy title, if that's the case. Holiday in the Protectorate. Okay. All right.
Oh, God, so, imagine if it's not that. That's just all I think about.
Let's find out if Olga Koch is cancelled after this. Hive mind. Why was the Czech reality television show Holiday in the Protectorate so controversial?
It sounds a bit like proletariat.
Because it sounds like proletariat.
Yeah. History and stuff.
History and stuff. It was controversial because of history and stuff. Okay.
They made them work in factories for no pay.
Okay. Oh. So if you think it's because it sounds a bit like proletariat and people were touchy about that, buzz now. If you think it was because of history and stuff, buzz now. If you think it was because they made them work in factories for no pay, buzz now. In fact, what's your Tsar size had it? It simulated the Nazi occupation of Czechoslovakia. And Olga Koch is cancelled.
In fairness, the advantage of a Nazi-themed reality show is they can still use it to sell fashion.
Those uniforms.
Hugo Boss, yeah.
Yeah,
Hugo
Boss made Hugo them. Hugo Boss, absolutely.
It didn't get a second series. But
what?
It pitched itself as a situation drama, not a reality TV show, as if that made it somehow better.
Oh, like a sort of The Only Way is Essex type thing.
It went on for 3 months, and there would be random raids by people dressed as a Gestapo.
Oh,
and
no.
They were like... And the Czech Republic was occupied. It wasn't a good time.
No, that's quite
famously,
famous. Famously not a good time. I know you're trying to sort of modify it because we're a charming tea time show And you want to keep it light. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that it wasn't a good time. Question 3. How did male contestants win the red Porsche on the 2001 German reality television show designed to shed light on the falling birth rate? What's your Tsar size?
Was there a snippy snow?
A snippy snoo. They had to have a vasectomy to get a Porsche. Let's play who'd get a vasectomy if it meant they got a Porsche. Kate Smurthwaite, I don't think you're in line for this vasectomy. Just men in the audience, cheer if you would happily have a vasectomy in exchange for a Porsche.
Woo!
Just
a Porsche.
Excellent. Do you already have any children? No, of course not. You're free on a Saturday afternoon and you look happy and drunk.
I want to back that up. But at the same time, if it's drop in birth rate, then we want people to, like, give us a positive pregnancy test and we'll give you the most practical car for a new family, a red Porsche.
Yeah, it's designed to shed a light on the falling birth rate in Germany.
Sperm. Just give us some sperm.
Swap sperm for a Porsche.
This is what I think. I think that it would have been the guys who've made the most donations to the sperm bank, because prepare for the science, right? This is actually like, this is a real issue. Like, historically, people could make donations to sperm banks and there was no chance of being tracked down. But these days, DNA testing is so good that if you do give donations to sperm banks and children result from that, there's a very good chance that those children are going to track you down at some point in your life, 20, 30 years later. So there has been, for a very long time, a sperm donor shortage across large parts of the Western world, including the UK. And not only is that a real problem, but I even have the solution, which is that we should get those people who are celebrity lookalikes to work in mobile sperm donor centres. So, like, you've got a big crush on some supermodel and there's her doppelganger, and then we can make a reality show about it called Strictly I'm a Fake Celebrity, Come on Ice.
Hey! Celia, do you back your teammate up?
Oh, yes.
I mean, you'd be churlish not to. Then let's throw it to the hive mind. How did male contestants win the red Porsche on the 2001 German reality TV show designed to shed light on the falling birth rate?
They had the fastest sperm.
Oh. Faster sperm wins the Porsche. Okay.
Highest sperm count
wins the Porsche. Oh, yes. Who's still touching it
at
the end?
Who can come on the car?
Okay, well...
It's like soggy Porsche.
Wow, like the biscuit game, only it's the classic car game. Yeah.
Soggy Porsche.
No, that's what... Sorry, the comedians have got carried away with your answer.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You have to touch the car with your penis, and the last one to pull out wins the Porsche. Okay, all right.
He'd be exhausted.
All I can say, you groan, but you would have said it if you'd thought of it. So the last one to pull out of the petrol tank wins the Porsche. Okay, all right. So audience, I mean, I asked, so I cannot be horrified by your answers. If you think it's the last one to pull out of the Porsche, buzz now. If you think it's the highest sperm count, buzz now. If you think it's the fastest sperm to win the race, buzz now. You are correct. Their sperm was raced against each other and the man with the fastest swimmers won the car. How horrifying. And it's the end of the round.
This round has gone to out. Ned Sedgwick, what are the scores, please?
And in third place are... and in third place are... And in first place...
Ha, ha, ha! Oh, that joke works so well. I'm so pleased with it, and I didn't even come up with
say.
It.
And in second place, it's a hive mind with 10 points. But in first place, it's your SAR size with 20 points.
Yay! What's your SAR size?
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Next round is everyone's favourite round.
Idioms!
Sometimes idioms from other countries are very hard to understand, or even idioms from your own country. I can't tell you how confused I was until I finally learnt what beating around the bush really means. What is the meaning of this foreign phrase, which we have literally translated into English? Fingers on buzzers! In France, they say, you're pressing on the mushroom. And in first place.
It means that you're speeding. It's like, press on the mushroom, we're speeding.
Are you, in fact, French? Because this was an oversight, if so.
I'm just a player, not the game. The next question will be about my mother.
The next question is, what underwear is Celia AB wearing?
That's a question that I'm wondering as well, to be fairly honest.
Okay.
It's been a hot day.
All right, so in France they say you're pressing on the mushroom. According to our French contestant, it means putting your foot down.
As her teammate, I'd like to agree with that.
Okay, and what's your czar size?
Yeah, great.
Okay.
What she said.
Hive mind. What do you think that means if they say you're pressing on the mushroom in France?
Touching your clitoris.
Okay, hive mind are going their own way. Touching your clitoris. Okay, so you've only got one answer to choose from, that or what the French person said. If you think it's touching your clitoris, buzz now. If you think it's what the French person said, buzz now. You are correct, it's what the French person said. It's putting your foot down, accelerating, speeding. Well done, and in first place. In Romania, and can I just clear this, is anyone from Romania who's on one of the teams? No, okay. In Romania, they say... You're selling me donuts. What do they mean? I heard an in first place first.
It means you're lying, really, isn't it? You're selling me donuts, you liar. I'm always saying that, and my Romanian mother. No.
Okay, you're lying about your Romanian mother. You're selling me donuts. You don't have a Romanian mother.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just a bit hungry, but I feel like it means you're making me really happy. But I'd be like, oh, baby, you're selling me donuts. Oh, keep selling me donuts, baby. This is going great.
Okay, you're somehow in the middle of sexual congress.
And you need an idiom.
You're selling me donuts. Don't stop. Oh, God, you're selling me donuts.
Is that your sex voice?
Yep. Yep. That's how I do it. That's how I roll.
I believe that.
It's not implausible. What's your czar sign? If I said to you in Romania, you're selling me donuts, what would I mean?
I think maybe like, false promises, because it's a donut is hollow on the inside, so it's a false promise.
Yeah. Bullshitting.
Yeah. You're bullshitting, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hive mind, what does it mean? You're selling me donuts. Ah, so you've already sold it. You're selling me donuts. You stop selling. Just take my money. What was the other one there?
Sweet deal. They're basically the same thing.
You're giving me a sweet deal there, baby. That was my sex voice.
This deal's got holes in it, but that's
the same jewelry. Deal's got holes in it. Okay.
You're having me on.
Okay. All right, hive mind, if you think it's take my money, you've already sold me. Stop selling. Buzz now. If you think it's what a sweet deal, buzz now. If you think this deal's got holes in it, buzz now. You're having me on, buzz now. Okay, in fact, and in first place had it, it's actually you're lying to me. In Swedish, they say, I have an unplucked goose. What do they mean?
Means my waxing agent is gone out of business.
I have an unplucked goose because my waxing agent has gone out of business. Your waxing agent? You have an agent for waxing. I have an agent for comedy and for writing, but I've never had an agent for waxing.
You've got to get people to specialise.
Yeah.
I can't just use a generalist for that sort of thing.
as dangerous.
If I've waxed. That's the reason I'm calling it a waxing agent is because I've never been to one. I don't know what they're called. What are they actually called? Does anyone know?
They're just called a beautician or a wax...
Is it like a diamond in the rough. Mm. Is it like
that a lot.
You got something great, but it's not ready.
Not ready. Yeah. Yeah. Something great, but not ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. You just got a pocket cocket in it.
You're 3 steps away from Live at the Apollo, yeah, is what you're saying.
All bro. Right.
So my Swedish father... I was only half Swedish for the purpose of the next idiom. used to tell me in Swedish, I'm not going to do it in Swedish. Celia, you've got an unplucked goose. And what it meant is you haven't figured it out yet. You haven't figured out whatever you're trying to figure out. You're getting there, but you're missing a part of it. It's like a detective. You're missing a key element.
Oh, missing a clue.
But he said it in Swedish.
Okay.
Can I throw one in real quick?
Yep. I have a bone to pick with you, like an unpicked bone. That's what it is. Mm. Like, oh, I've got an unplugged goose with you.
I've got an unplugged goose.
Stop right
with
there.
You. I've got an unplugged goose with you. Okay, in Swedish hive mind, they say I have an unplugged goose. What do they mean?
Work needs to be done.
Work needs to be done.
Unfinished business.
Problem. There's a problem. Okay, if you think work needs to be done, buzz now. Unfinished business, buzz now. There's a problem, buzz now. In fact, what's your czar size? Came in at right at the end with it. I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you know that? Is there something similar in Russian?
No.
No, you just guessed it?
Yeah.
Incredible. And it's the end of the round.
I'm hungry for donuts. Ned Sedgwick, what are the scores? Please.
Now I want everyone to stay calm about this, but in third place is Hive Mind. Doesn't sound calm, but okay. And in first place with 20 points. And in first place with 35 points. It's your SAR size.
Oh!
The next round is the teams round. A member of each team has come theoretically prepared with a question based on their cultural family background. Maybe there's a quirky phrase that is unique to the region their parents grew up in, or maybe there isn't and they've made one up to score extra points. We've got no way of knowing unless it's Rosie Jones. what's your SAR sign? Is there any chance that you would have a question for and in first place?
There is a Russian superstition where we traditionally don't eat in front of mirrors. Why?
One thing I think, maybe it's just because you look really ugly when you're chewing and you won't chew properly. Because you'll just be like, oh, look at my horrible chewing face.
You know, traditionally, if you look in a mirror, a ghost can come behind you or whatever, and they'll come in and eat your food.
Okay, that is not tradition that a ghost will come behind the mirror.
Is it in France?
These are my Swedish, Romanian, and French tradition. But I am very proud of it. I'm quite triggered, actually.
So a ghost can come up behind you? Okay.
Ghost, right. Or, as I like to call her, my auntie. But okay.
So is either of those in the ballpark?
Not really.
Okay, so we need a third and final answer.
Is it because it makes it look like you've got twice as much food and you'll feel fat?
I mean, all of those are excellent, but they are wrong.
Okay, what is the right answer?
It's because you're eating your own beauty.
Oh.
That is so Russian.
How do you eat?
You're eating your own beauty. So what, you'll erode your beauty if you see yourself eating in a mirror?
Yes, you'll become less beautiful the more you eat in front of a mirror.
That is spooky. Is there a whole horror genre based on that in Russia?
I mean, there must be. I haven't looked into it. All I know is that if I'm on a date and there's a mirror like behind the person that I'm on a date with, I will ask to switch and they will leave.
Yeah. Because you're on a Tinder date and you're going, I really want this to go well. I fancy you a lot. I want you to take me home and I don't want to eat my beauty.
I don't want to like arrive in aid but leave a five.
But I'm a little bit like, I'd be like, sure, I don't care if I get uglier during this. I want him to stay hot.
Oh, that's
so
a good
I'd
point.
Be like, no, sit me in front of the mirror. Oh. I don't want you getting any less attractive because I'm totally 50-50 at this point anyway, babe.
So the feminist thing is to let him to do it. I'm rethink your life, feminist. Olga. But you do get points because And in First Place did not guess it. And in First Place, do you have a question for the Hive Mind?
Yeah, we do. And I feel like they're going to work this out because there's so many of them. There must be somebody from the... And we're in London anyway. So my mother's family are all from the East End of London. Big, big, big kind of Cockney family. And sometimes there would be an event, if I'm totally honest with you, usually a funeral. And there were christenings and weddings and other things, though. And just as all the guests are arriving, there's a fantastic buffet laid out. It all looks gorgeous. And somebody nudges you and says, FHB. FHB. And my question is, what does FHB stand for?
What is
and
FHB?
This lady I can tell knows. So.
Okay, there's one here.
I know.
Yes?
Family hold back.
Oh, she's
family
good.
Family hold back.
Oh, apart from, I'm not supposed to say that.
Purple Haze. Does
she's
anybody
good
else
to have guessed
have...
something plausible, but obviously wrong.
Does anybody else have exactly the same answer? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Family hold back. Is that correct?
It is the
it
right
is
answer.
Correct.
Well done, yeah.
Hive back scores.
Yeah.
All right, Hive Mind, do you have a question for what's your Tsar sign? We have someone here, Deepan from Mauritius.
Thank you. The dodo is the national bird of Mauritius, famously extinct, hence expression as dead as a dodo. But what was the actual reason for the dodo's extinction?
Oh. Okay, this is only for what's your Tsar sign?
Okay.
What's the reason for the dodo's extinction?
Hunting, or like a parasite that was introduced by colonizers?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah,
babe. Okay.
Wouldn't they like walking around
yep.
and then people came and we were like...
Is one of those right, yes or no?
One of those is right.
One of those is right. Which one? You've got to choose one.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say... It's all you. Absolutely not.
No.
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 You've got to choose one in 3 seconds, otherwise you get no... Otherwise you lose your chance. Three.
Yeah.
Two.
Hunting.
Hunting. Is it hunting?
That was the wrong one.
No! Can you explain more, please, Deepan?
So most people believe that the dodo was killed out due to hunting.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because it was a very vulnerable bird. But actually, it was because when the Dutch came on the ships that they came on, there was rats and vermin and mice who came onto the island, who previously didn't exist on the island, and ate the eggs. So overnight, they just...
So it was, you were right, but you had the QI answer. You had the roop, roop, roop answer that everyone thinks they know. And you also had the obscure answer that was correct. And you backed the wrong horse. I'm so sorry, what's your Tsar sign, but you do have points to burn. So let this poor, unfortunate Hive Mind have their victory. Hive Mind, you've scored!
We let them have it. We let them have it.
I don't have any points, Ned Sedgwick. What are the scores, please?
And in third place, and in first place, with 20 points.
Never gets old.
In second place, with 25 points, it's a Hive Mind. And catching up with It's Your Tsar Size, who are in first place with 40 points.
Oh. Next up, it's the It's a Sign round. Everybody is marching these days, and some protesters come home to see the hilarious slogans on their signs all over Instagram and Facebook. I do like the person whose sign I saw on Facebook today, though I'm not sure they were really entering into the spirit of the protest. They were holding a placard reading, "If your beliefs fit on a sign, maybe you need to think a little harder." Teams, we'd love you to make some shareworthy signs, and Ned will award points for creativity. You have 30 seconds to write your slogans for today's protest, which is in support of staying in the EU. Oh, Hive Mind, if you would like to get your pens and papers or notes on your phone out or chat to your neighbour, time starts now.
Let's do it.
European animals.
What's your Tsar size? Do you have a sign
would you throw all our favourite European dishes? So we like, I mean, there's a lot of food.
It's mostly food-based reasoning.
Like meatballs, cheese, beer. We're a little bit IKEA.
Yeah, Costa del Sol.
Like European animals, question mark?
Yeah.
Do they have animals in Europe that they haven't turned into meatballs and sausages?
So we're like, we don't want to leave. We love all of you.
And I love that the only fashion there is berets. Yeah. And that you think bread is somehow continental. The concept of bread.
Am I the only person that wants to know what a straw donkey is?
I have no idea what it is.
What is
it's a European animal.
Yeah. From Spain.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Well, thank you.
You go. Are you Spanish there in the audience? You just. Yeah, so you're just saluting the Spanish donkey from a childhood holiday. Fair enough.
A straw donkey.
Yeah, no,
do
we
get, you not know?
No, we do now that you've said it.
It's a donkey made of straw.
Yeah, no, that's clear. And those were the things we'd miss. And in first place, do you have a sign?
Well, we've kind of taken a very similar theme, but we've narrowed it down. We've been very specific and I think rather subtle about this. We've gone with
no pain au chocolat, no gain au chocolat.
I do think that deserves some points. And also,
may I add, for those of you listening at home, I did an excellent drawing of a croissant.
Hive mind, anybody got anything?
Christmas wouldn't be the same without Brussels.
That's lovely. I don't think you can do better than Christmas wouldn't be the same without Brussels. So you've got some excellent ones there to award points to for creativity. And while you're doing that, let's go to the quick fire round, our final round. Hive mind, if you know the answer, shout buzz and then shout out the answer. Fingers and buzzers time starts now. Which 2015 Academy Award winning film was known in Thailand as Fanatics?
Incredibles.
I heard Incredibles, and from here I heard The Artist. Neither of those are right.
La La Land.
It's in fact Spotlight. I think it refers to religious fanatics. In England, we say it's raining cats and dogs. In Greece, they say it's raining.
In Greece, they say it's not raining.
Legs of chairs.
Legs of chairs is correct.
Ooh. Oh my goodness, they fell out full.
I mean, would be good, but the hive mind is correct. What is the largest island in the Mediterranean?
Cyprus?
Nope.
Crete?
Nope.
Sicily.
Buzz, Sicily is correct. In British English, we call them tights. What are they called in American English?
Pantyhose.
Correct. What is measured in banana equivalent doses? Banana equivalent doses?
Dildos.
No.
Buzz height?
No.
Memes, Buzz.
No, exposure to radiation. According to its own national anthem, which country is giant by its own nature, beautiful, strong, a fearless colossus?
A very confident one, is what I will
very
say.
Very confident country. It's not Britain.
Is it Greece? Because colossus.
No, you're in danger of shouting out all the countries. It's Brazil. Finish this Chinese joke. A regional or Chinese, this Finnish joke.
While I cry.
A regional communist governor goes to visit a farm. In order to test the farmer's loyalty, he said, if you had two houses, would you give one to the government? Without hesitation, the farmer says, yes. The governor asks, if you had two cars, would you give one to the government? Again, the farmer says, yes. The governor asks the final question, if you had two cows, would you give one to the government? The farmer replies, no, never. Please don't ask. The governor is confused, and the farmer says, what? I'd give both. Very good communist action there from you in the audience. But no?
It's the only sex I get.
It's the only sex I get. The farmer says, no, I've actually got two cows. Yeah, I'll give my theoretical half, but not my actual half. And we're out of time, and it's the end of the show!
Please don't have sex with cows. Ned Sedgwick, what are the scores, please?
Half a point separates all of the teams.
Oh.
That might mean two teams are in first place. It doesn't. Two teams are in second place. And those two teams are, and in first place, and the Hive Mind. The winners are Isis Sarsai.
It's a big deal. It only happens once or twice a season. So it's a great big red Porsche to our winners. With their speedy, speedy spermatozoas. But an unplucked goose to our losers. And a box of great big donuts full of holes. And I'll leave you on this Arabic proverb, do good and throw it in the sea. But please make sure that good in question is biodegradable and dolphin-friendly. Otherwise, we'll end up with an enormous floating island of good in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Please give it up for Rosie Jones! Oh, the cock! Kate Smurfwent! Celia A.B.! Samuel Wolf on keys! Ned Sedgwick in Prentice Corner! You, the Hive Mind! I've been Deborah Francis White! Good night! Before you leave here, you need to put Ned Sedgwick's name in, and if it's easier, his full name is Edmund Heathcote Sedgwick. Does that make it easier?
Let's not be.
Be what? Okay. Accurate?
Yeah.
But people think I'm a twat. Name.
It is. Yeah, but it's a Tory name, isn't it?
No.
Like, it is.
No, it's not.
I feel like the range of diversity. You've got someone in from Narnia.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
I think it's lovely. It doesn't imply you're a Tory at all.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.